We are glad to have each of you here this morning in our parking lot service. The weather didn't cooperate, but we'll overcome the weather. And we also want to welcome our Facebook viewers that are tuning in this morning. We had over 700 that watched last week, and so we're thankful for that audience. What a special day this is. This is Easter, April the 12th, 2020. And we have so much to be thankful for. God has been good to us. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the rest of the story. It tells us in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, that Jesus promised that his disciples would be endued with power from on high. They were to be witnesses unto him into all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. For Jesus had repeatedly told his followers about his resurrection, yet when it happened, they were reluctant to believe it. He first appeared to the women, and to their credit, they were much more easily convinced than the men. So for 40 days, the Lord came and went, and he overcame the unbelief, the hesitation of the disciples, it says in verse 3, by many infallible proofs. They were absolutely convinced after those 40 days that Jesus Christ was alive and that he had resurrected from the grave. Furthermore, during the 40-day period following the resurrection, the risen Lord spoke to them about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was going to leave, and he would leave them a tremendous task in order to be accomplished. I think he probably reviewed his great Sermon on the Mount, stressing passages like, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you." Jesus spent the 40 days prior to his leaving getting them ready for the work of the kingdom. I've entitled the message this morning, "The Rest of the Story." You see, the crucifixion and the resurrection are certainly the bigger part of the story of redemption. And yet, as important as they are, the story is not yet complete. Millions of people need to hear the good news of the gospel, for without hearing the word of God, they cannot be born again, and they cannot enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. The crucifixion and the resurrection was not the end of our Lord's agenda, and it ought not to be the end of ours as well. I want to focus in on three things this morning from verses 8 through 11. First of all, I want you to take note of the program that was laid out for us by Jesus himself. The very last words that Jesus spoke before he left to heaven were these: "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." In this verse, we see a cooperation between Christians and the Holy Spirit of God. Christians are told to go and tell the story to the untold millions still untold. They're not called to be lawyers. They're not called to argue or to arbitrate the case. They are called to tell folks about Jesus Christ. In this verse, we also see the Lord's master plan for world evangelism. They were to begin at Jerusalem, their own community. They were to begin with their neighbors, their family, their friends, and those around them. This is where all witnessing should properly begin. It would be a shame to reach out and win others and not win our neighbors and our friends and most of all our family. Next, they were to reach out to Judea, that is their own country. They were concerned with the people that spoke the same language with them. They had the same customs. They lived in the same environment. They lived under the same government. Then the disciples were told to go to Samaria, beyond the confines of their own country, and they were to begin evangelizing their neighbors. Now they all knew about the Samaritans. Indeed, they had a deep-seated, that is the Jews, a deep-seated racial and religious prejudice against the Samaritans. And as it turned out, the 12 were reluctant in order to go to Samaria. And so the Holy Spirit had to send a man by the name of Philip, a deacon, in order to reach out to them. And when revival began to spring forth, the Bible said that the apostles themselves showed a willingness to participate and go. Finally, they were to evangelize the uttermost parts of the earth, that is, the regions beyond. Jesus said, "Go you therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations." So from pole to pole, to sea, regardless of skin color or racial distinction, they were to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every church took seriously the great commission command of our Lord? We need to be reminded from time to time that it is not a suggestion to be considered, but a command to be obeyed. Notice the risen Lord. He said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." We're not sent to spread the gospel we're not sent to spread American culture or to found colonies or to convert people to an ideology. We're to simply point people to Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our goal. And all of us that are here today, we know how good the Lord has been to us. He reached down and he picked us up out of sin. He washed us white as snow and he put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we rejoice today that we are children of Almighty God. But that's why we exist, in order to tell others about Jesus Christ. That is his program. Secondly, let's consider the parting. In verse 9 it says, "But when he had spoken these things, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." What an unforgettable moment this must have been for all that were there that day that saw Jesus ascending back to heaven. His resurrection was a triumph of the highest order, signaling the conquest of the grave forever. And because he lives, we can live also. Amen. Jesus Christ, his resurrection was in secret, but the ascension was open and visible to those that were there. Amen. His ascension, on the other hand, was a crowning wonder that a man that was robed in human flesh should defy the laws of gravity and slowly but surely ascend up through the sky into heaven, back to that home in heaven that he left. Well, the ascension is about Jesus going home, angel escort and all, up through the clouds, up beyond the stars, back to the glory land. But now he was different. You see, he had a human body, a battle-scarred human body, if you will, a resurrected, glorified human body. After arriving, he went up to the throne of the Father, there to sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Think about it. A man in a human body is now seated on God's throne. Because as God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, he is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father. He has every right to be there. But note the spiritual significance of that ascension. It means that we now have an advocate with the Father in Jesus Christ, the righteous. We now have a mediator in heaven, a great high priest, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The old hymn puts it like this: "Lifted up was he to die, it is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior." Oh, I can tell you today, we have a wonderful Savior. the story of redemption, if it ended right there, it would be a tremendous story. It would be a story that we would want to tell to all that we come in contact with. The Son of God, who is Spirit, came to this world, robed in human flesh, that he might identify with us. He has lived a sinless life among us, and he gave his life on Calvary's cross in order that he might redeem us from our sins. And then on the third day, he arose from the grave, and he appeared to many in person over that 40-day period. He gave the Great Commission command to his disciples, saying, "Take my message of redemption to the entire world, and those that will believe, they can be saved." And then from the Mount of Olives, the Bible said he ascended back to heaven. I can tell you, that was a tremendous sight to be able to see the Lord ascend back up to heaven. And I could see the disciples looking and straining in order to watch him go. But he's going to the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. That brings us to point number three, the prospect. Verses 10 and 11, it said, "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heaven? For this same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven will also come again in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.'" You see, the attention of the disciples was riveted upon Jesus. They were watching every move, every motion as he slowly ascended back to the Father. I can only imagine how they felt. It was an end of an era. That which had begun in a cradle in Bethlehem's manger now ended in a cloud. God in Christ had come to earth. Now he had gone back to heaven. Never before, never again will we ever see anything like that again. So these awestruck disciples stood there on the brow of Olivet, and they were steadfastly looking up into the sky when the angels recognized the fact that they were watching Jesus and they were under command. They were commissioned to go. Angels had announced his birth. Angels had watched his temptation. Angels had strengthened him in Gethsemane. And angels had heralded his resurrection. Now angels came in order to escort him back to heaven. The two angels tarried for a few moments. I can see them gazing upward just like the disciples, catching a last glimpse of the Lord as he went back to heaven. And for one brief moment, the visitors from heaven had earth view of it all. But then the cloud cover closed in, the Lord was gone. They tried to see him longer. They strained. They did everything they knew to do to get one last glimpse of the Savior. But it was already too late. He had gone. Well, the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven is going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go." They were sent out. They were to finish the mission that God had given them to do. Well, the first coming was over. Now the second coming is to go. I think all of us would recognize and say today that I think we're a lot closer to the coming of Jesus Christ than ever before. We would never have thought that an economy and a world that was seemingly rocking along quite well, because of a pandemic called coronavirus, it has rocked our nation, our world. But it reminds us that we're living in the last days. It reminds us that Jesus is coming soon. The story will not end until Jesus comes. It's still being told. But one day the story will end. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will say, it's enough. And he will come back and he will rapture his church out. I don't know about you, but I know as they were watching him ascend back to heaven, one of these days we're going to see him as he comes in the clouds in the air. And he's going to motion for us to come on up. Come on up. Join me. And he will give us a new body that will not ever hurt or have pain. He'll give us a new incorruptible body that's suited for heaven. And he will raise those up that have died. And we worry about and we fret. But those that died in the Lord will be raised up first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I'm glad that he's alive, and because he lives, we can live. We are mandated to go into all the world and help others to come to know him. It's not just for us, it's for the whole world. How will they hear unless somebody tells them? That's our responsibility and our job. Well, I'm reminded of the convocation of the animals. They were living through a time of drought and they could not find water. And so they met together in order to try and find a solution to their problem. All the bigger animals got to take the floor first, and they really were confounded. There was no water they could find. And there was a turtle over here that turtle tried to get their attention, but they didn't pay any attention to him. They ignored him until the time came that the others floundered and they had no answer. Finally, they said, what do you have to say? And the turtle said, I know where there's water. I know where there's water. I can tell you, we as Christians know where there is water. The water of life is in Jesus Christ. And we have a responsibility to tell folks that he's not dead, he's not in the tomb like some of the others that are being worshiped today. But he's alive and well, and he's back in heaven. But he's not going to stay there. One day he's coming back for us. So what a happy Easter. We have the blessed hope. Our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if yours is not, then all you have to do is ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've sinned, and I want your forgiveness more than anything else. And I repent, and I ask you to forgive me and come into my heart and be my Savior. Whether you're listening and watching on Facebook or whether you're here in the parking lot, God can touch your heart. He can save you right where you are if you'll pray that simple sinner's prayer. So let's pray together and ask God to bless each one of our families and get us through this trying time. I believe we're getting closer to the end of it, but I've been amazed at how faithful you have been. And how faithful, folks. We've had over 700 that watched us last week on Facebook. I'm amazed. People are hungry for the gospel. We need to tell them and continue to tell them until all the world is saved. Let's pray.